I want to speak tonight upon an unpopular subject that really goes to the very heart of why that we need the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we need to have missions like this? Why do people put themselves out and congregations put themselves out of their comfort zone and come into a tent like this and set it up and make all the arrangements? Because there is one reason to do that. And that is because they want to see men and women released from the power of their sin. Now, of course, there are those that tell us tonight, preacher, but surely what you need to do is tell men and women about the love of God. And thank God, God not only loves the sinner, but thank God, God is love. And we praise God for his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. But my friends, let me tell you, it is also true that not only is God love, but God is a holy God, and God is a just God, and God must punish sin, because sin is an offense to God himself. Now, friend, there is no need to talk about sin and hell, people say to the preacher, because that's the message of the past. No, friend, it isn't. Sin is a subject of the present. Every man, every woman is stained and scarred by that awful plague of sin. And if that sin is not dealt with, if that sin is not put away under the precious blood of Christ, then that sin will be paid for in hell forever in a Christless and lost eternity where there is no hope without Christ forever. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the real problem of every man's heart from the preacher down. Because let me tell you, my friend, you and I need to face this problem, this real problem of the heart. It's the heart of the problem. It's the heart of the problem of sin. Now, I ask you this question. What would you say if a doctor was visited by a patient, and the patient comes into the surgery, and the doctor looks at the person, and the doctor examines the patient, and he realizes that that patient has a serious disease. But of course, he doesn't want to annoy the patient. So he turns to the patient and says to them, you know, you've just got a bad dose of the flu. And I tell you what you do, just go home and take a few tablets and might take a paracetamol or something else and just go home, keep yourself warm, a few days it'll all pass. And yet that person has got a disease that's going to kill them. Tell me, friend, what would you say about that doctor? You say, I tell you, you struck him off. Why is it that they do not say that preachers who stand up in the pulpit and tell their congregations, do the best you can and you'll get to heaven, there's no talk about them being struck off. And yet the truth is, my friend, there's a greater disease than any cancer, any other disease that can be mentioned to you. It is a disease that's in every man's heart. It is a disease of sin. Sin. For the word of God says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, it is possible, because it's true, that there are some diseases that cannot be cured. Many a time a doctor's got to look into the eyes of his patient and say, I'm sorry. And you never, the doctor says that, friend, you know what's coming next. I'm sorry, friend, there's nothing I can do. You need to go home. Need to get your things settled and put together because you're going to die. But surely, doctor, there's something you could do for me. I'm sorry. It's outside my ability. I would love to cure you, but I can't. But I want to tell you, my friend, the disease that I'm talking about tonight, thank God there's a cure. Thank God there's an answer for this disease that's troubling your heart tonight. And thank God the cure is found here in this first epistle of John and the chapter 1. And I want us to turn to this passage of God's word tonight. And I want us to look at it just as it's written here. And we're turning from verses 8 to 10. So follow us in the word of God tonight. The first thing I want you to notice is this. It's a popular perception. Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin. Now, friend, that's a popular perception today. We have no sin. You know, remember whenever the prodigal was sitting there at that old rock in the far country. The Bible says when he was down there in the gutter, the Bible says he came to himself and he confessed this fact. He says, I have sinned. I will go to my Father and I will say to my Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. He said, I've sinned. And whenever he came home to his father, friend, that's exactly what he said. He said, Father, I've sinned. You remember David, the psalmist, in Psalm 51, he said these words. He says, my sin is ever before me. You know, friend, he didn't talk about somebody else's sin. Yes, there were others who were involved in his sin, but let me tell you, it was his sin. And I can tell you this, it's so easy to sweep somebody else's doorstep. It's not so easy to sweep your own. And to acknowledge that you're the sinner. It says, if we say that we have no sin, and here is the popular perception today, I have no sin. I have no sin. Well, what is sin? Well, the Catechism gives the answer. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. We have the Ten Commandments, and those commandments, there are commandments that says this, thou shalt. And there are those commandments which says, thou shalt not. And sin is any want of conformity unto. God says, thou shalt, and we say, I shall not. We don't want to conform to what God says. And it is also not only any want of conformity unto, but it is a transgression of. When God says, thou shalt not, man says, I will. You see, the central letter in that simple word, S-I-N, friend, what is the center letter? It's I. And that's what sin is. My way. I'll take it my way. I'll live my life my way. It doesn't matter what God says. God says, thou shalt not. I say, I will. God says, thou shalt not. I will. God says, thou shalt. And God, a man says, I won't. It's I. You know, in this passage of God's word, we find in John's epistle, there's a distinction between sin and sins. Sin, you see, refers to our corrupt, evil nature. Remember what the psalmist says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You see, friend, we have a sinful nature. God gave Anne and I 5 children. I never had to teach one of them to lie. Isn't that amazing? Never had to sit down and tell them to lie. It just came naturally to them. Now, I had to teach them ABC. I had to teach them to read. I had to teach them to spell. I had to teach them many other things. But I never had to teach them to lie or steal or do something wrong. Why? Because it was a sinful nature. And friend, I wonder tonight, do you realize that you, just as a psalmist says, listen, behold, look here, he said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. In sin. He wasn't saying that his mother had conceived him out of wedlock. But he has a sinful nature. In sin. He was born a sinner. And you and I, friend, have got to realize that we have a corrupt, evil nature. The word of God tells us from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, there's naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And friend, until you see that you were born a sinner, there is sin referring to that evil, corrupt nature that we have, that we were born with. But the word sins talks about our evil practice. That's the actions putting our sinful nature into operation. My sins. Because the word of God says, fools make a mock at sin. And the tragedy is today, as far as man's concerned, there is no such thing as sin. It's just me doing my own thing. And as I said last night, nobody has any right to tell me not to do it. You see, the popular perception is this. I have no sin. I have no sin. It says here, if we say we have no sin. Here's the practical position here. Let's follow the verse. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I want you to get that, friend. It says we deceive ourselves. We lead ourselves astray. We delude our own souls. What an awful thing when a man deludes his own soul into thinking, I have no sin. And he goes on through life believing that and thinking that and then goes to hell in his sin. What a tragedy. You know, when Adam was there in the garden and God said to him, Adam, thou shalt eat of all the trees of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But you know, Adam thought he could eat it and get away with it. And so it is, friend, that men and women think, they deceive themselves into thinking that somehow that they can rebel against a holy and a righteous God and they can live as they like, and somehow at the end they'll get away with it. That God will open the door of heaven, and all it'll take is whenever they're closing their eyes in death and then they step out into God's eternity is for their preacher to stand on the pulpit and talk about a wonderful person they were, and everybody will go home happy thinking, well, that's a good show. And yet, friend, they deceive themselves. You see, whenever the serpent came to Eve, and whenever the serpent drew her attention to the fruit that was upon that tree, he asked this question. He says, have God said that? Are you sure God said that? He challenged the authority of the Word of God. He challenged the acceptability of the Word of God. Do you think that it's really acceptable that God could say of all those trees, but God's not giving you that tree? And my, look at it. It looks the best tree of it all. He challenged the accuracy of it, of what God said. And then the serpent said this, thou shalt not surely die. He added one word. God says, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And friend, you know what happened that day? The old devil lulled Eve to sleep and deceived her into thinking that she could take it and get away with it. And she took that fruit and she gave it to Adam, believing the devil's lie. And you say, what a fool. But if you're not saved tonight, you're believing the devil's lie. You think that you can sin and get by with it. You can get away with it. That somehow that God won't call you to account. I remember the first mission I preached in Macrofelt in that old Kharkiv army reject tent. I remember preaching, the devil's apples have worms in them. And friend, let me tell you, just like the fruit, sin looks lovely on the outside and my, it seems juicy in the inside, but I can tell you, it's rotten to the core. Sin. Sin when it is finished. And you can call sin whatever other name you like. You can put some fancy title on it. Do you know what you're doing? You're deceiving yourself. And the Word of God says here, look at it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And then God says, and the truth is not in us. We're devoid of the truth. We're lying. You're a liar. And who are you lying to, friend? Yourself. Yourself. It's not that you're deceiving others. You're deceiving yourself. As you travel out into God's eternity, to that meeting with God Himself, and yet you're saying, I have no sin. You know what it means, says there, the truth's not in us. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6? Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the truth. And friend, when the truth is not in you, and Jesus Christ is the truth, in other words, you have not Jesus. You don't know Jesus. You might know about Him. You may sing the hymns about Him. You may read the scriptures about Him, but you don't know Him. You're like Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road when he fell upon the ground and he cried out in his sinfulness and he said, who art thou, Lord? He was religious, but he was lost. And how many men and women come to our churches We thank God that you come through this tent door, friend, but I have to be honest with your soul. You can be stuffed with religion and die in your sin and go to hell for all eternity. If we say we have no sin. Have you said that to yourself? Is that how you've been living, friend? Is that how you've been thinking? I have no sin. I have no sin. And therefore, I have no sin to answer for. God couldn't send me to hell. I couldn't perish. I couldn't go to the depths of the damned. Why? Because I have no sin. Go to verse 10. And here we have a preposterous proclamation. It says, if we say we have not sinned. Now notice it, it's not that I have no sin. I have not sinned. I have not practiced sin, either in the past or in the present. I have not sinned. I've not sinned. And therefore I don't need to be saved. Preacher, you go and tell the down and outs. And Armagh and Portadown and all around. You tell them. You tell the person that's lying in the gutter. Go and tell the immoral person. Tell them you need to be saved from your sin. But don't tell me, because I have not sinned. I have no sin to be forgiven. I have no sin to be cleansed. I don't need God's pardon because I have not sinned. Is that true, friend? Are you so bold to stand in the presence of God Almighty and sit in this tent tonight and tell your soul, I have not sinned? You never sinned in thought. Never a sinful thought has crossed your mind. Never a sinful word has come from your lips. Never a sinful word or deed. You've never practiced a sinful deed. No, that's the brat that somebody else did. But not me. And so I say to my soul, God, I don't need your salvation. I don't need your forgiveness. I don't need your pardon. Because I'm not a sinner. But friend, it's not true. It's not true. Oh, maybe you say, well, I'm not a bad sinner. Tell me this. So you're a good one. That's what you are, a good sinner. But you're a sinner. And I tell you this, my dear friend, it's not until you come to that place where you humble yourself before God, and I came there, where I humbled myself before God and I had to confess these words, God, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I can tell you this, it's not until you realize that you're a sinner that you'll ever be saved. It's not until you come as a sinner to Jesus that you'll ever be saved and ready for heaven. And until that moment, you're a full-blooded candidate for hell. But I'm not as bad as others. You see, friend, that's how you measure it. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. Remember, the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ met death on a number of occasions. Do you remember that day whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came and he came into the very presence of death? And there's a young man being carried out. He had been 24 hours dead. He'd been carried out on the way to the grave. And then do you remember Lazarus when the Lord Jesus Christ came? He was dead 4 days. Tell me this, friend. Who was the more dead? The one 24 hours. The one 4 days. You know, the answer is very simple. They're both equally dead. And it's not the number of your sins, friend, that'll take you to hell. The Bible says he who is guilty of one is guilty of all. Because you've broken the law of God. And whether you want to admit it in time and confess your sin and come as a sinner to Christ, one day you will confess him. One day when the books of God are open and you stand before God and every last sin of your life is brought out of the books of God's record, every last one of them will cry for judgment. Every last sin will cry, guilty, 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 guilty. Every last sin. And cry for the judgment of God upon your soul. But if we say we have no sin, or we have not sinned, and that's the proclamation that men make, preacher, I'm not a sinner. Not me. He is, she is. But not me. You know, the Word of God says, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, your iniquities are separated between you and God. And friend, do you see the seriousness of your sin? There's a barrier between you and a holy and a righteous God. Because you're separated from God because of your sin. Ah, yes, you can pray his name. And you can sing his name. But the Word of God says your iniquities are separated between you. Between you and God. Remember when Adam sinned? It says, and so God cast out the man, cast out of the garden. There was a time when Adam, before he fell, he had fellowship with God. But sin had separated between him and God. But notice quickly, it says in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, read the next words. Because here's a perilous provocation. We make him, we make God, a liar. We're calling God a liar. You're blaspheming God, friend. You're accusing the God of heaven of lying. Why? Why would the Holy Ghost say that? If you say you have not sinned, you're calling God a liar. Because God's word says you have. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says there is no difference. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned, all without distinction. Doesn't matter who you are, the queen in the throne, the pauper in the street, the up and out, the down and out, the educated, the illiterate. Doesn't matter who you are tonight. It says there's no difference. For all have sinned. Galatians chapter 3 verse 22 says, but the scriptures have concluded all under sin. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 46. There is no man. Mark these words. There is no man who sinneth not. So if we say we have not sinned, we're lifting our finger in the face of God, friend, and say, God, you're a liar. How dare you? How dare you accuse me of sinning? How dare you accuse me of being a sinner? I have not sinned. God says you have. God says you have. Because there is not a man that sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You see, friend, when you say you have not sinned, you haven't a clue of the holiness of God. In God, he is light, and the word of God says here, we read it tonight, verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. On the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ bare my sin upon the cross, the Father turned his face away. Why? Because he was of purer eyes than to look upon sin. And Christ cried out in the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, sin separates you from God. And yet fools make a mock of sin. They laugh at it. It's just only a joke. And that's how men and women think they're living tonight. They're just living one big joke when they're living in sin. And yet God says, thine iniquities, thy sin, have separated between thee and me, a holy God. What an awful picture tonight. But go to verse 9. Thank God there's the answer. In verse 9 it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice this appointed presentation here. If we confess our sins. You see, deceived souls excuse their sin. They deny their sin. They whitewash their sin. They play down their sin as if it was no big deal. You see, that word confess, do you know what that means? If we confess. In other words, it means to say the same thing, to agree with God concerning our sin, to acknowledge, to admit the truth, to declare openly, to just say the same thing about sin that God says about it. If we confess our sin. But you know three of the hardest words to say? I have sinned. And men and women are going to hell tonight because they won't humble themselves with a broken heart over sin and in repentance confessing, I have sinned. Not he has sinned. Oh, it's easy to point to the sins of others. It's easy to point the finger to the adulterer. It's easy to point the finger at the whoremonger. It's easy to point the finger at the murderer. And you say, I wouldn't be found in that place. But friend, read the 21st chapter book of Revelation. And when it talks about the catalogue of those that are in hell, the first one is this, the unbeliever. The unbeliever. The one that wouldn't believe that they were a sinner. They wouldn't acknowledge it. They wouldn't take it in. They would never own to the fact. They wouldn't confess. I have sinned. Oh, it's so easy to say, he has sinned. I remember there's a man who came to our congregation when I went there. And he came for many, many years, and we met. He used to come on a Sunday, faithfully, Sunday after Sunday. And then on a Saturday night, we'd go to the pub. and Kern, the fox and pheasant. And they often said Matt sat up in the wee stool at the bar, and they didn't know whether he was holding the bar up or the bar was holding him up. For Matt was sitting there at the bar. And you know what they said to the men who were sitting in the pub? Hey, boys, you need to go to church. You know you're a sinner. He used to preach to them. One day I was talking to Matt personally, and I said, Matt, tell me, friend, are you saved? Turned to me and he said this, Mr. McCrae, let me tell you. I live in Corn, outside Corn, and he says there's a Presbyterian church outside Corn, or in Corn. There's a woman goes to a prayer meeting there on whatever night the prayer meeting was in that church, and she carries a big Bible under her arm, nearly the size of herself. And I want to tell you, she's the biggest hypocrite in our countryside. I says, Matt, is that true? It is, he says. I said, Matt, I want to ask you a question. You see, the day when you stand before God and the record of God is open, tell me, will you answer for her or will you have to answer for you? You see, friend, he was hiding behind her. Now, I don't know how she stood before God, friend. I didn't know her. But I tell you, I said, Matt, you leave her with God. Wouldn't be an awful tragedy that you dropped into hell because of her. Thank God one day Matt came as a sinner. And he called on God to save him, and God changed wee Matt's life. And then suddenly one night, in the night hours, the death angel came, and Matt was taken away. Thank God he was saved. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, you know, Judas said, I have sinned. He was sorry, but he never turned from it. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and as you think about your sin, you're sorry for the life you've lived. What a mess I have made, preacher. If you only knew the mess of my heart, friend, I don't need to. God does. God knows about the mess. But I want to tell you, God can deal with it. God can deal with your sin. As we'll find out quickly in the closing moments. Yeah. Do you agree with God? I'm a sinner. Pharaoh admitted that he was a sinner. My friend, whenever the plagues came, he wanted rid of the consequences of a sin, but he didn't want rid of a sin. There's men and women would love the preacher to tell them, you can sin away, and you can sin as much as you like, and then you can escape hell without Jesus. They don't want the consequences of their sin, but they want their sin. But friend, you can't have your sin without the consequences. For the wages of sin, there's a price for your sin. And Pharaoh cried, I have sinned again this time. But friend, whenever the consequences were lifted, he went back to it. It was an empty confession. Maybe there's someone sitting in this meeting tonight and you have made an empty profession. And you're relying on an empty profession and you've gone back and you're living in your sin, friend. Let me tell you this here. An empty profession is not worth that. If your sin's not dealt with, you'll answer to God for them. And you'll go to hell. And that's what Pharaoh did. what David said. God, I've sinned. He said, my sin is ever before me. He felt the guilt. I felt the consequences of his sin. But friend, he said, I confess my sin. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercy, O God. Blot out, O God, blot out my transgressions. And God forgive him. Why, friend? Because he repented of his sin. And he turned and threw himself on the mercy and the grace of God. It says there, if we confess our sin, not somebody else's. Friend, the sin's yours. The sin's yours. You've committed it. And every last one of us, God, that's where God found me. God found me in my sin. My sin. If we confess our sins, notice this, thank God, here's the last thought, a promised pardon. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, here, there's forgiveness based on two attributes of God. He's faithful. In other words, he's trustworthy. You can trust him. Praise God. You can trust his word's true. Thank God he'd fulfill his promise. He'd keep his word. I know that that's hard in these days for men and women to keep their word. They promise you the world. And then they walk away and to do something else. But the word of God says he is faithful. You can trust God, friend. He is faithful and he is just. God is a God of justice. He justly demands the punishment of sin. But God can justly forgive you your sin. And God, when he does so, he's acting righteously because of the provision and the redemption that was provided by the blood of his Son. One who left heaven's glory and stepped into the sin-cursed scene of time. And he became the sinner's substitute. And on the cross of Calvary, he was wounded for our transgressions. And bruised or crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And because of the finished work of Christ, Christ died for me. God justly pardons those who put their trust in his Son. Jesus is the only answer. And the word of God says he is faithful and just to forgive us. To forgive us our sins. Sins forgiven. And I tell you how great that forgiveness is, friend. God says, your sins and iniquities, well, I remember no more. Thank God he not only forgives them, thank God he forgets them. And the evil accuser may come and throw them in your face, but praise God, God seeth none. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's what it says in the verse. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. from us. Let me ask you a question. Before God, be honest. Be honest with your soul. Sitting in this service tonight as I finish this mission, I want you to look into your own heart. Oh God, examine my heart. And ask this question. Have you confessed you're a sinner? Have you taken your place as a lost, hell-deserving, ill-deserving sinner, bound for a Christless hell? Have you acknowledged, God, I sinned? Have you come as that sinner to Jesus? Do you realize that outside of Christ there is no hope, there is no Savior, there is no pardon, there is no forgiveness? Maybe you've come to baptism or confirmation, or you're relying on something else. They'll never take you to heaven, friend. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Praise God. He is. Not might be, not maybe. That's why I say to people, listen, I'd love to point you to Christ. You can be dead on, sure of heaven as if you're there. And it's not because of anything in the preacher or nothing else, but only Jesus. Rest your soul on what Christ did for you at the cross. He died for me. He died for me. He loved me. He shed His blood for me. He went to the cross for me. He died for me. Thank God. I put my faith and my trust simply in Him. That whosoever believeth or trusteth in Him should not perish. Praise God, you'll never be in hell. But you'll have everlasting life. There's no other answer. I said to you, there are diseases that the doctor can't cure, friend. But the disease of your soul, God can. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Christ. That's the answer. And that's the gospel. I've good news for you. Thank God. There's the healing balm. Thank God your sin-sick soul can be pardoned and forgiven and cleansed and healed. And you become a new creature. He doesn't renovate the old heart. Thank God He gives you a new heart. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Will you come to Him tonight? Oh, why go to hell? What a fool when a man knows and the doctor says, listen, there's the answer to your disease. And you say, doctor, I don't want it. Don't want it. And he walks away and you say, what a fool. And yet multitudes have left gospel meetings like this. And the preacher presents a Savior who saves to the uttermost. And yet they walk away and say, Jesus, I don't want you. And you die in your sin. And where Christ is, you'll never be. What a tragedy to go to hell without Jesus. And yet the Savior's passing this way. And He's here to save.
Will you call on him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What's the next word? Shall be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence tonight. It is a fearful thing for men and women to walk away from you. Oh God, show them the seriousness of what it is to reject your mercy and your offer of salvation. You bid them come to you tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And yet so many have not come. Oh God, what a tragedy one day to hear those words from the lips of the same Savior. Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Into everlasting hell. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in the Savior's lovely and precious name tonight, let me tell you, he's faithful and he's just to forgive you. But you must take your place as a sinner if we confess our sins. Will you do that tonight? Is there someone in this meeting in the closing seconds as every head is bowed and every eye is closed? Is there someone in this gathering tonight and before God, friend, you're willing to acknowledge, oh God, I have sinned, I'm the sinner. And thou hast provided in thy Son the Savior. Oh, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Preach your appointment to Christ. Lead me to the Lord. You say, preacher, how can I come? I'll tell you how you do. You come as you are. You come as a sinner to Jesus the Savior. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to sing that little verse of that hymn, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And if there's one in this gathering tonight in the closing second of this meeting, you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know my sins forgiven and peace with God and assurance of heaven. If that's the desire of your heart, maybe there's someone backslidden. There's a time you walked with God, but friend, you know you're far off tonight, maybe very far. Thank God he loves you still, backslider. He's followed you to this meeting tonight. You're not here by chance. You're here in the sovereign providence of God. You say, preacher, lead me back to the Lord. Just as we sing this wee verse, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's one sinner or backslider, you just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it. Indicate that desire. Would love to point you to Christ, just as I am. Is there someone tonight in this gathering? God has spoken to your heart. You say, preacher, I'm the sinner. Lead me to the Savior. You lift that hand right now that I'll see it, friend. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Is there one in this gathering? Don't play the fool with sin, friend. Will you come to Christ? We're here to help you tonight. Don't go away without the Lord. We're not delaying the meeting any longer, but listen, we're here to help you. And if there's an anxious soul in this gathering, let me tell you, as others are going out, you just wait behind. Come and speak to some of the preachers, speak to myself. We'd gladly show you from God's word, friend, how you can be saved and know your sins forgiven. Heavenly Father, separate us with thy blessing. Don't let men and women walk away without you. But in mercy, stop them, Lord. Stop them. Bring them to Jesus. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. Then we're here to help you. Dear anxious soul, don't walk away without the Lord. Please come and speak to us. We'd love to show you from God's word. It's all we'll have in our hands, the word of God. Come to the Savior. And thank God he'll take you in. Don't walk away from him. May God bless you. May God save you. Amen.